CPR 101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and thank you. Welcome to ER 101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. We have a great show today. I will talk to my first guest. April is Alcohol Awareness Month, and between spring breaks and proms and formals and stuff, sometimes a rite of passage of teenagers, the fun goes a little too far, and underage drinking becomes a problem. So I want to talk to and welcome our first guest to the show to talk about this problem, how big it is and what every parent should know and be able to do with their teenager. So I want to welcome Dr. Hugh Hill. He's an emergency physician, been in practice for over 30 years. He's a assistant or associate professor at Johns Hopkins and works at Bayview Medical Center, but he's been the director of many different medical centers and spent many years as president of the area's largest and oldest free healthcare service with over 19 clinics. So welcome, Dr. Hugh. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Vanacker.
Please call me Lee. Anyway, so let's talk about this problem, because especially in the spring, it seems to be a big issue. The National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism reports that alcohol is the drug of choice. I have a 10th grader, but it says almost three-fourths of teenagers report drinking alcohol by the end of 12th grade. And according to the U.S. Department of Justice, 90% of teenagers binge drink when they consume alcohol. And as an ER doctor, I mean, that potentially can be very dangerous.
Yeah, the statistics are horrifying. And our experience, and I'm sure yours in your practice in emergency medicine, parallel mine in seeing some horrific disasters. Young people, of course, don't have judgment. They don't have the experience with alcohol oftentimes. And they'll go way too far, way too fast. And the number of alcohol poisonings that we see every year do seem to go up in the spring.
So explain to everybody a little bit about really alcohol poisoning, what it is, and you know, what parents, you know, should watch out for or talk to their kids about.
We know that maybe one small drink an hour is metabolized by the liver. But once you get over that, your bloodstream is supersaturated with the, can be saturated with the alcohol fragments, and that starts causing the symptoms of drunkenness and the next day the symptoms of hangover. The problem for young drinkers, in addition to their inexperience, is that their enzyme systems in their livers may be actually not geared up like an experienced drinker to handle the drug as fast. And young people often drink on an empty stomach, which makes it hit the bloodstream faster. I'm not coaching kids how to drink. They clearly shouldn't. But the things that parents need to be looking out for are these signs of binge drinking. And it's indirect, because it tells you something about what the problems are. For example, is the child having problems in school? Is the child missing classes, getting bad grades, and other indirect indications that they're engaging in risky behavior? You know, for me as an emergency physician, it's not just the kids that come in drunk and we have to do life support till they, till they're out of the woods and they're breathing on their own again. It's the kids who are injured as a result of that drunkenness. I hope you tell your, I'm sure you do tell your 10th grader, and I told my kids in school about the vulnerabilities, vulnerable you are when you're drunk and the horrors that you can suffer then.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, you know, I see things, the girls especially, I mean, it's, you bring up a good point about metabolizing alcohol, and you know, I've even had teenagers talk to me, or older teens, friends of mine, their kids are older, already in college, and it's, you know, the girls don't eat all day because they want to look good at night, and then they're, you know, drinking, and it isn't even just high school teenagers. I mean, there's this new rite of passage when kids even turn 21 and become legal, so it's not underage anymore, drinking 21 shots. I mean, which is ridiculous. I've seen that in my practice. I know you have, where kids are just pounding down so much alcohol. And it's true. There's risky behavior. There's other issues with impaired driving. I almost think it's worse. You know, now the newer thing is now parents are renting limos for kids to go to prom and such. That sort of seems to me like you're encouraging your children to drink. I mean, I know there's a line. You have to be a little realistic, like, but it's almost like you're being complicit and saying, okay, you can drink because now I got you a limo. You don't have to worry about drinking and driving.
I take that criticism to heart. When my daughter graduated from high school, a bunch of other parents and ourselves gave them a dinner and a party before they went off in the limo that we'd rented. We dressed in, this is a great opportunity to talk about this because it's something that parents have to think about and they have to confront themselves where they're going to go on this slippery slope. The parents dressed in tuxes and nice outfits and served the kids like they were waiters in a nice restaurant. The kids thought it was cute. They went off with the limo driver, whose only admonition to us was he was not going to clean up vomit. We had to do that. And they all survived. By God, they all survived. And we made it kind of a cute thing that we were doing and talked at the party we had afterwards while we dealt with our anxiety about what was happening to our precious children, about whether or not we were complicit, whether or not we were giving them permission to drink. How do you deal with that? I mean, let me give you the counter argument, just very briefly, if I can. To fail to do something that might keep your child safe, because it seems to make you complicit in their drinking, is to hold their health and their survival hostage against their behavior.
Uh-huh.
It's like refusing condoms because the risk of pregnancy is going to make people abstain. It doesn't work.
No, I do agree with that. And believe me, I'm not being critical. And it's a very slippery slope, and you have to have a certain dose of realism as a parent and know, you know, if this is going to happen, you know, what can you do? And, you know, it's the same way that I tell my son, if he's at a party, and I don't really think he's drinking now, but we talk about it, and other kids are drinking, and he got a ride with some of his friends that are seniors, just call me any time of the day or night, no questions asked. I won't talk about it then, because I don't want him to get into a car or be uncomfortable in that situation, but he's afraid to call me because he doesn't want to get a lecture on the way home. And I think, you know, you have to have a dose of realism in parenting. And look, I have no answers at all. So, and
that's
this teenage thing is very new to me.
You and I are fortunate because we can bring home stories and we can talk objectively about the disasters we've seen in the emergency room as long as we don't reveal confidential health information. We can tell these stories at the dinner table and to our kids, and I have, and I suspect you do, seeming like we're telling a story, but with an eye to teaching and telling them what's going on. You know, the strategy you mentioned of the non-judgmental ride home at any time has been used by an increasing number of parent groups across the country. There's one group, in fact, that I'm aware of that is being duplicated where they pool their resources. They all go to some place and sit and wait for the phone calls to come in, and you might get a ride home with one of the other parents, not yours. But the promise is non-judgmental ride homes up until whatever hour of the morning on prom night.
Right. I agree. And I think that's a really good way to go with kids and let them know. And, you know, I do understand the limo thing. And what's frightening is, okay, so if you're looking at underage drinking, and we can continue this in the next segment, they're getting the alcohol somehow from adults or older people, and that's another situation that you have to consider. So, you know, there is this idea of controlled drinking in your own home, but you really have to think about what you're doing.
Thanks for your time.